This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Experience Glowing Wild, an illuminated wildlife lantern festival at the Sundial Bridge and Turtle Bay Exploration Park in Redding, California. Open select nights April 4th through June 8th, 7 to 10 p.m. Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with Asian lanterns inspired by plants and animals from around the world. Plus food, drinks, live performances on select nights, and much more. Don't miss Turtle Bay's Glowing Wild Lantern Festival at the Sundial Bridge. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
You remember when quality mattered more and people advertised low prices? When craftsmanship wasn't just a buzzword, but a way of life. At Cascade Curations, they never forgot. Their hand-selected collections honor that American tradition and the quality you grew up with. Quality clothing and low prices, just like they used to make them. Come see their showroom of men's and women's clothing across from Jack's Grill on California Street. And as always, they have free parking for their customers. Go by and see for yourself. Cascade Curations.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Hi, I'm Tamara Wood, presiding judge of the Shasta County Superior Court. The Superior Court is currently accepting applications from individuals interested in serving on the Shasta County Grand Jury. To apply or to obtain further information, please visit ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
The Grand Jury is one of the most important and interesting volunteer opportunities you can be part of. Applications are now being accepted. To apply or get more details, visit ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
Be part of the solution. Apply today.
You have a choice when it comes to your cancer care, and I want you to know that at Valor Oncology, we are here to provide the best possible care right here in Reading. I'm Dr. Lauren Strickland, Valor's breast oncology surgeon, and I'm proud to serve this community that I call home. When you come to Valor Oncology, you'll see the same dedicated team at every visit, physicians who know your history and are committed to your care. We offer state-of-the-art technology that rivals major cancer centers, combined with the personalized care you deserve. We are not just a team of doctors. We are part of the fabric of this community, and we are here for you today and tomorrow. When it comes to your health, you deserve expert care, compassion, and stability. Ask your doctor to refer you to Valor Oncology because we're committed to you and we're committed to Reading. Call 530-900-4000 or visit valor.org to schedule a consultation. Valor Oncology, rooted in Reading, focused on you.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
Join Aaron and Bill for We the People Radio, Sundays, noon until 2.
It's conservative talk radio with a liberal dose of humor. Get the whole story from experts around the world delivering facts rather than opinion.
Missed a show? Busy at noon? No problem. Listen to our free archives when you have time. No commercial interruptions or download restrictions. We the People Radio.
.us.
What shall we do about them? So there's no way that there was a shortfall here because the positions were already filled.
Right.
It's just that they wanted to employ someone whom they could pay less money, so they got rid of the American and brought in the immigrant worker.
How would you recommend we evaluate the value and the merits of a program like this?
I think that you have to evaluate any program according to the general purpose of government. I mean, America's founding fathers understand the purpose of government as being to secure the inalienable rights of the citizens of that country. In other words, so what serves the interest of the nation and its citizens? And is it in the interest of the United States or its citizens to have American workers who are available and qualified to do these jobs being pushed out of the way for people who are being brought in under these visa programs?
Talking with Dr. Kevin Porteous, professor of politics, director of American Studies here at Hillsdale College. As we go a little deeper into the question, you write in this piece at AmericanMind.org about the universal and particular principles and founding regarding citizenship. What is that balance of universal and particular principles?
Well, I mean, I think on the one hand, we are a country that is founded on a set of principles about regarding justice, and those principles we claim are universal. On the other hand, we, that is to say, the citizens of the United States collectively, are a particular people. In other words, we're not an abstraction. And the people of this country are not simply economic units, right? They're human beings. They have souls. They have interests. They have families. And so we ought to, while being faithful to those principles, we ought to also have regard for and give preference to the people who compose this country, the people who constituted it in order to, as the Constitution says, secure the blessings of liberty for ourselves and for our posterity. So that we ought to be concerned with promoting the interests of the particular people who make up this country.
You alluded to earlier the problems, the issues Disney had and other companies had in terms of importing what is essentially cheaper foreign labor to do those jobs. Has Congress attempted to regulate similar concerns on that topic throughout our history?
Yes. At various times we've had different immigration policies, really beginning in the early part of the 20th century, and not so much on the basis of labor as and particular aspects of the labor force, at least until recently, as much as the country's being overrun, people eventually concluded in the early 20th century, by people who don't necessarily understand or appreciate our way of life. And that concern goes all the way back to the founding, which is to say that, you know, we're not obligated to allow people to come into the country to the point where the country is transformed. And that's a problem that we run into, I think, a lot today, where we have this kind of unwillingness to say, and I think, you know, given our politics today, if you say, look, it's really bad that the culture of our country is being transformed, you're somehow racist. When in fact, I think that for people that are paying attention, even the places that quote unquote look like us aren't really like us. Other Western nations aren't necessarily Western or aren't necessarily American in terms of their understanding for or appreciation of our culture of limited government and individual natural rights and so on.
One of the reasons we're talking about this is there has been some back and forth on the topic recently. What route should Congress and the president pursue to find an American first kind of labor immigration policy?
Yeah, I think you really have to emphasize that the whole point of this operation, that is to say of the United States writ large, is to secure, again, the blessings of liberty, but also the greatest possibility of a decent and dignified life and work for average people. And this goes way beyond immigration policy, right? It's a comprehensive approach. We have to have, for instance, a trade or an industrial policy that does this, that doesn't allow communities like this one here in Hillsdale to be hollowed out by policies that are not conducive to the prosperity of ordinary Americans.
Dr. Kevin Porteous, Professor of Politics and Director of American Studies at Hillsdale College. His piece at AmericanMind.org, Putting America First. Dr. Porteous, thanks for joining us here on Boat Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thank you so much.
Up next, Titus Tekera, Executive Director of the American Cinema Foundation. We talk about the state of the film industry. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Court is in session with Letter of the Law on Radio Free Hillsdale 101.7 FM. Hello, my name is Megan Pidcock, and you're listening to Letter of the Law on Radio Free Hillsdale 101.7 FM, where I tell you all about the world's wackiest laws that are still on the books. Today, we're taking a trip to Southington, Connecticut, where silly string is quite the controversial subject. Silly string and smoke bombs are both banned at public events, such as parades and carnivals, with a penalty of a $99 fine if people are caught selling or using the novelty products. This ban of silly string was sparked first at a fall festival in 1993, where town members sprayed silly string on parade marchers, local monuments, cars, and other festival goers. This resulted in stained clothing, cars, and marching band instruments. The silly string spray was so bad that two policemen almost lost control of their motorcycles. Talk about an explosion of color. The event sparked a huge debate amongst the town, as shortly after a proposal was introduced to the town council that banned silly string and smoke bombs across Southington in both public and private spaces. Members claimed this potential ordinance was created at the request of the police force, citing safety concerns. However, many council members rejected the ordinance, claiming it was far too harsh. After an attorney revised and returned the proposal to the council, and about a year after the inciting incident, the ordinance was passed. As of 1994, silly string and smoke bombs are officially banned from public property and from public town events. So, be sure to mind your fun in Southington, Connecticut, and not get caught with any illegal silly string. This has been Megan Pidcock on Letter of the Law. If you want to hear more student shows like this, go to RadioFreeHillsdale.com. Once again, you're listening to Radio Free Hillsdale 101.7 FM.
Welcome to the Grammar Minute, where we're saving the English language 60 seconds at a time. I'm Lauren Smith, and this episode was requested by a grammar fan from Florida. This episode, by the way, as you may have noticed, is free. You're getting it for free. Or are you? The economist in me wants to say that it's not free, it's zero cost, so there's one problem. But the other problem, which is more relevant to grammar, is that free isn't a noun. It's an adjective, meaning that it describes a noun. And for is a preposition, which must precede a noun. So, for free is wrong, because it's a preposition and not a noun. This runs into all kinds of problems. You want to say that you're listening to this episode for free, so are you listening to this episode free? Or freely, and does that even mean the same thing? For free is broadly accepted in modern English and is even included in the Collins English Dictionary. Personally, I think the distinction is interesting, but I don't mind this expression at all. That's your Grammar Minute.
Hi, I'm Joshua Palladino, a PhD candidate at Hillsdale College. Here's master's student Theodore Madrid with a message from Thomas Jefferson on the role of the federal and state governments under the Constitution.
In a letter to Judge William Johnson, Thomas Jefferson said, "I believe the states can best govern our home concerns, the general government our foreign ones. I wish, therefore, to see maintained that wholesome distribution of powers established by the Constitution for the limitation of both, and never to see all offices transferred to Washington, where further withdrawn from the eyes of the people, they may more secretly be bought and sold as at market."
Hillsdale College, pursuing truth, defending liberty since 1844.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. Be sure to check us out on X. Follow at Hillsdale Radio for show and guest information. We're joined by Titus Tekera. He is Executive Director of the American Cinema Foundation. You can find him on X at Titus Film. That's T-I-T-U-S Film. He's on campus for one of our CCA lecture series here on Hillsdale College's campus. Titus, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for the invitation, Scott. It's good to be back.
Always a pleasure to talk cinema and film with you. We talk a little bit after this year's Academy Awards, the Oscars, were handed out. And I think for many Americans and perhaps a majority of our listeners, they have no idea what happened at the Oscars, meaning that they don't know the films, they don't know some of the actors, and it's not the first time in recent history that this has happened. So what do you think that says about the industry right now, where the film industry, the movie industry stands right now in the eyes of the American public, perhaps?
Yeah, I think if you start with that, where's Hollywood, where's America? What happened at the Oscars is the result of 2024 movies, and that is the result of quite a bit of calculation, quite a bit of financing, quite a bit of development, and so much work by so many people in the crews to make these movies. And then, on the other hand, American people also made their voices spoken much more loudly in the elections in 2024. And now we get to tally up what's happened. After the inauguration, after the Oscars, where's America? Where's Hollywood? It's catastrophic what a great distance this is. Mm-hmm. There has never been something quite like this. Nobody really respects these movies. Nobody really wants to watch them. We've come to a point where Hollywood people were desperate to find something to vote for, and they were just running through a list of objections. Some were credible, some were ridiculous, all of them incredibly self-defeating. Until it ended up with this something that's not quite a rom-com, maybe a kind of coming-of-age story about what we could call a lady of negotiable affection, who goes around with a Russian gangster, and the Russian gangster's kid, and there's this other enforcer, then there are really tawdry, really sordid, unhelpful stuff, and weirdly badly made.
Mm-hmm.
You look at that stuff and you can just say, this is weirdly too long. This is not looking at things right. The composition is bad. Why are these people moving this way? And so it sort of becomes jarring. And this is not what you'd expect out of kids who are having fun with their iPhones, trying something out. It's not what you expect from a Best Picture movie. And you can tell immediately, okay, I get why nobody went to see this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever kind of person you are, turns out they sort of got the exact spot where nobody is. This is a big country. And so, you know, you can't sell these movies. You can't get people to watch them. You can't get the Oscar to get them a new lease on life, mm-hmm. a new interest. And so theaters are dying as well. Everybody's hurting everybody else.
So I when I was growing up, you had the Oscars, which everybody watched, and it was fun, and people saw the films, and you fought about who was going to win, because you saw all the films, you could have opinions. The Grammys, which again, everybody watched, everyone heard the music, you could fight about things. And then there were the Tonys. And I remember as a kid saying, what is this? And why would I be interested? And I'd never seen these things or these people, and what are they even honoring? And then I thought, you know, it's Broadway and theater. And I my feeling now is that the Oscars is very much in danger of becoming the Tonys, which for a majority of the country, it's not for them. It's for a very small group of people who actually have seen these films and perhaps can have opinions or can fight about who's best. But for millions of people, it means nothing to them whatsoever.
Yeah, you know, this is crazy. We used to worry about this problem in the industry in terms of the Spirit Awards.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of twee, kind of interesting, but only a few insiders even care about that stuff. To see that happen to the Oscars, it's sort of like we're quarreling about why the annual conference of pediatricians wasn't a bigger hit. It's just a trade in fair. It's just the industry looking at itself. But this used to be the self-understanding of America. This used to be the things we hope for and the things that scare us. This used to be redrawing from our resources, remembering and reinterpreting the national memory, right? Cinema did all of these things for us. It also, you know, was socialization, as we horribly say. But it just used to mean a night at the movies is a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
You go out with your friends, maybe you take a girl out. There are also, you know, matinees. Strangely enough, you end up remembering those things fondly.
Yeah.
Took the kids out, and they were having so much fun, and they thought, you can be a little wild here. It's just, you know, bursts of laughter, and who knew a matinee could be fun? Well, you had all of these sorts of opportunities, and now we're strangely nostalgic about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, national house arrest with COVID, that did not help. Liberal hysteria about COVID, that did not help. It's an industry that's hurting itself, and then they react to that by also turning the awards into, so to speak, the most un-American spectacle you can imagine.
T2's Tekeret is with us. He is executive director of the American Cinema Foundation. We talk a bit about the current state of the movie industry. Something that, I won't say bothers me, but it certainly has an effect. You talk about the experience of going out to the movies and bringing a family or bringing a girlfriend, and it's a night out. It's an experience. So what has the industry done to itself in sort of classifying the way it distributes their films?
Yeah, I think this was a major catastrophe that, again, COVID was part of it, but also the way in which studios rented their properties out to Netflix and so forth. Everybody looked down on them. They really did not take seriously the fact that Americans, A, are kind of in love with technology. It's part of the national love affair. And B, Americans would like more comfort.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to show me that the movie theater is nice. You'd have to show me that getting in the crowd there with people, you start feeling a little excited. We're in this together. If that's not on the table, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
And then, you know, driving, parking, what do you do with the kids? Or can you scrounge up a group of people if everybody has slightly weird schedules that they're doing this? Oh, you know, it becomes a drama to schedule something. And then the movie theaters get hit worse and worse. And conflicts between the studios and the theaters have never really worked out. And so who won out? Netflix won out. To some extent, Amazon won out.
Mm-hmm.
These sorts of streaming services that killed cinema and replaced it with, indeed, the couch. Replaced it with the family room, the living room. Replaced it with the big screen, which is largely commandeered by kids who have gaming consoles or something like that. Or, you know what they do? This is what my nephews do. This is what their friends do. They watch YouTube on the TV. Massive screen, but now it's YouTube. And
mm-hmm.
so it really is the case that the uniqueness of the experience has been wiped out, that a kind of relationship between the stars and the audience has been wiped out. And therefore, the ability of artists to say, I'll put her in that picture and everybody will get it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll show you that guy in his drama and you'll think he's my guy. You no longer have bargaining chips as an artist. You can't say, I will be making stars. You know, behind every American star, there's a director or two. John Ford made John Wayne. America loves John Wayne a lot more than John Ford, and that's fine. As an artist also, in a way, you need the distance. I want them to love John Wayne, not me.
Mm-hmm.
I need to look at things from a certain distance. I need a certain degree of independence. But if it's not possible to connect the audience to the story and it's not possible, therefore, to connect them to a star, what are we even doing here? And America ran out of stars.
We'll pause there and return in just a moment for more with Titus Tekera, Executive Director of the American Cinema Foundation. What happened to the great comedies? We'll ask that question. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Online at kcnr1460.com.
Save 20 to 30% off all plants at Turtle Bay's 33rd Annual Spring Plant Sale, featuring heirloom vegetables, hard-to-find perennials, shrubs, California natives, and more. The nursery specializes in drought-tolerant plants that thrive in Redding's climate. The members-only sale will take place on Friday, April 4th, 4 to 7 p.m., and the public sale will be held on Saturday, April 5th, 9 to 3 p.m. at 1100 Arboretum Drive. Learn more at turtlebaynursery.org.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
Invest in your future today with a degree or certificate from Shasta College. Get job ready fast with one of our high-demand career technical programs like nursing, heavy equipment, and welding. Or work on transferring to a CSU or UC with guaranteed placement. Full-time students get 2 years tuition-free. Summer session begins June 9th. Click or call 242-7650. Your success starts at Shasta College.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
This is Carl Bott. Join us on Thursday as we welcome Mayor Jack Munns, Mayor of Reading, and talk about that $5 million budget deficit, river plans, and much more. This on Thursday right here at Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Shasta Lake and neighboring friends, the Queen of Dragons has your back with premium products at prices that work for you. As the longest standing dispensary in the area, our local team knows exactly what you need. Our shelves are stocked with the freshest flower in town. From our premium, fresh, and local line to our budget-friendly options featuring Emerald Junkies and Tricana Boys. Don't miss our famous Flower Friday deals. Top quality at unbeatable prices. And for the green thumbs out there, clones are now in store for the growing season. Join our Dragons Reward program and earn points with every purchase. Stop by 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake or call us for delivery at 530-276-9771 or check out our menu at thequeenofdragons.com. The Queen of Dragons, premium offerings, unbeatable value just for you.
Red Bluff Roundup is on April 18th, 19th, and 20th. Get your tickets now. Over $350,000 is up for grabs for 700 competitors. It's the biggest three-day rodeo in the country. Tickets are on sale now, so grab the good seats while you can. It's constant action with bucking horses, bulls, barrel racing, roping, wild pony riding, and more. Friday is Patriot Day, brought to you by Food Max and Outback Contractor. Gates open at 5, rodeo at 7. And an after party with live music. Saturday brought to you by Sierra Pacific Windows, Sierra Pacific Industries, and Corning Ford. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 2:30. And an evening concert by country music star Creed Fisher.
Tell me that you understand.
And Sunday is Davidson and Heyman Family and Dignity Health St. Elizabeth Hospital Tough Enough to Wear Pink Day. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 1:30. Get your tickets now at the Roundup office or online at redbluffroundup.com.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risks to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
Mischievous, by hook or by crook, he'll get her attention.
Mm-hmm.
The sorts of things that made Americans be first guessers. The girl can second guess you, or you can second guess yourself, or your friends will kid you, but, you know, you should try. And so that posture, the boy in America learns to be active, you know, after school. it's his life, you know, it's the people he's fond of. And that stuff has really been taken out of American life. It really has been replaced to such an extent with, you know, every step of success, every extracurricular, everything that your parents, I guess usually your mom has to drive you to, all of these kinds of things that people do out of the best intentions. You know, it's not easy out there. Your kids have to do even more education, even more activities, more and more to prove themselves that they're going to be able to achieve something else further on. And by the time you're done achieving all that, there might not be that much left of spontaneity, of joy, of being surprised by what you like. And maybe it has become very, very hard. You know, people are, I make fun of young people all the time because they're so touchy.
Hmm.
And maybe that irritability has to be, you know, annoyed a little before they can get over it. Or maybe I'm wrong. Who knows? But the point of it is that to have comedy, it is necessary for you to be able to laugh. And to be able to laugh is to say to yourself, I sort of didn't see that coming. There's something that surprised me. And that means that also, there's something telling about me. I told on myself laughing. I lost control. I suddenly realized who I am. I wasn't quite sure, you know, 5 seconds before.
Yes.
The experience that there's something about you that's telling. It's not under your control. It's not the way you present yourself. It's not your social media profile. In a way, it's not even what your friends think of you or how they grab you, so to speak, how they think of, you know, your friendships. Instead, it's something that the moment reveals about you. Immediately confront being human with all your desires and your incompleteness. And obviously, that can be painful stuff. It's not easy to manage. And that has been almost entirely ideologically driven out of experience. Kids talk about themselves in the third person. Kids talk about their experience in terms of what some kind of analysis, some therapeutic concept is supposed to tell them. Where are you? You're not right here right now. I feel like you have to smack somebody upside the head to realize, like, hello, we're here.
Yeah.
We are live, you know?
Titus Tekera with us from the American Cinema Foundation. One final question. You and I have had conversations previously about Clint Eastwood. We've talked about Dirty Harry. We've talked about Bruce Willis. Very recently, Gene Hackman passed away. And I'm just wondering, maybe somewhat briefly, where you would place Gene Hackman on that American male actor spectrum.
I love Gene Hackman. Let me start with recommending some things. First of all, The Conversation, Francis Ford Coppola, 1974. He made this when he was also making Godfather Part 2. Coppola 70 is amazing. started with the screenplay for Pat and ended with Apocalypse Now. Wow. But Gene Hackman in that great decade of these impressive stories is the guy that gives you a vision of America suffering.
Mm-hmm.
It's not these grandiose, maybe epic, we would say, stories. It's something much more about middle class life, about the loneliness of the 70s, the misery of the cities, a man who suffers the agony of America, whose heart is breaking, and who has become in a way corrupted. It's not easy to watch, but you see the humanity of him in his suffering, and that was a quality that Hackman brought to his otherwise, strong frame, manly guy, the balding hair and that strong mustache. This is a guy.
Yeah.
And so, the other movie I would recommend is one of his latest and maybe the other great one, which I guess is going to surprise everybody who knows him. It's called Heist. Mm. It's from around 2000. It's a heist movie, like the name says, but it's by David Mamet. And so it's very fast, very clever. There are so many turns in the plot that you're going to see it twice or three times. And you get all of these hilarious roles, like Danny DeVito is a gangster. But in that case, you see Gene Hackman in his golden days.
Mm-hmm.
He has a kind of wit. He has a kind of wisdom. He's a mastermind once. You see that in the wrinkles around his eyes, his knowing smile. He really plays that up, and he's like, what if this guy really could think five steps ahead? And so it's actually very enjoyable because the character is so reassuring, but still this notion that the working class man, the professional, is in danger,
mm-hmm.
that somebody or else will corrupt him, that this things are not to be taken for granted. The old American compact, Frank Capra's America, maybe mid-century successful America, oof, brother, it's much harder out there now.
Yeah.
So it's sort of a memory. This is what we long for. This is maybe what Dad had for mm-hmm. us. It's so much harsher. And so Gene Hackman brought these two qualities together. He came literally, of course, out of that older America,
right.
Much more confident, healthier, stronger, just better character, actually. But also, he showed what's interesting in this newer America. Granted, a lot of suffering, people lose themselves, but it does make them interesting. You see human drama, longings, that otherwise would not really be there.
Mm-hmm.
Facing up to our hopes and difficulties, the stuff you've lost, and how do you have to manage things to just deal with it, as we say.
Yeah.
That shows, okay, that's maturity. That's a man. That's somebody that could inspire, maybe even in certain ways, guide you. Think about that guy, that man. He faced up to these things. Couldn't take things for granted. Never let go, though. I think that's a very American quality.
Yes.
And I think that's why people, especially in the 90s, realized that, it wasn't just Popeye Doyle, it was just the French Connection or things like that. They always loved Gene Hackman.
Yeah.
Finally, you can see it in his golden days.
Yeah. Titus Tekera is executive director of the American Cinema Foundation, and you can find him on X at Titus Film, T-I-T-U-S Film. Titus, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thanks so much for having us, Scott.
Up next, we talk with Dr. Steve Gottaprau, recent graduate from the Hillsdale College Graduate School of Statesmanship. He'll introduce us to global justice theory. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Are you looking to take your business to the next level? Don't let staffing issues or HR red tape stop you from growing. The most successful businesses are those that have mastered their HR and staffing needs, and they have done it with O2 Employment Services. Finding qualified help is harder and more expensive than ever. HR regulations are getting more and more complex and confusing. For over 20 years, O2 has been providing the foundation successful businesses need to grow, assisting employers with their HR, payroll, workers' comp, benefits, and staffing. Partnering with O2 gives you the expertise you need to manage your business and employees. Outsourcing your HR and staffing is no longer a luxury. It's a necessity for successful businesses, and it is more affordable than you think. Let O2 show you how we can help you reduce your HR complexities, hire the right talent, and get back to growing your business. Call O2 today at 530-223-4674 or visit us online at O2ES.com.
Goldleaf Nursery is celebrating 50 years in business. Yep, 50 years. Seems like yesterday our nursery and landscape business was just a little seedling itself. But the truth is, we've been serving Shasta County for 50 years, growing shrubs, trees, and veggie plants since 1975. It's the 50th anniversary sale now, all through springtime. With all shrubs and trees and ground covers 1 gallon or larger, 30% off. We have a good selection of spring shade bloomers, such as azaleas and camellias, and many other sun-blooming plants to enhance your landscape in those sunny locations in the yard. This is a perfect time of the year to start preparing your vegetable garden. We have organic soils and fertilizers, including a full line of John and Bob's Organics, and we carry non-GMO seeds. So rest assured, you can have a healthy planting crop in your vegetable garden. All shrubs and trees and ground covers 1 gallon or larger are 30% off. If you have not been to Goldleaf Nursery, we invite you to check us out and see for yourself why we have so many customers tell us what a unique nursery we have. Goldleaf Nursery, 6186 Churn Creek Road, across from Tucker Oaks Golf Course and 1/4 mile from Airport Road.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertrand. Be sure to check out the Hillsdale College Podcast Network for older episodes of this show, plus all of Hillsdale College's audio. Find it at podcast.hillsdale.edu or wherever you get your podcasts. We're joined now by Dr. Steve Gonaprow. He's a recent graduate of Hillsdale College's Van Andel Graduate School of Statesmanship. Dr. Gonaprow, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, Scott.
Appreciate it. Today we talk a little bit about your dissertation, which was on the topic of an introduction to global justice theory. How would you say that this work, your work, is different from other works that have been done on global justice theory? What gap does it try to fill in the scholarship?
Right. Very briefly, before I answer that question, let me just explain to the viewers out there what global justice theory is. When we talk about global justice theory, all we mean by that is moral theorizing about the principles that should regulate interstate conduct. And even more than that, the principles that should regulate both the structure and the practices of international institutions, such as the World Trade Organization, the IMF, the World Bank, and so forth. So that's what we mean by global justice. What moral principles should guide both international organizations and relations between states? And I argue in the dissertation that at its core, the Global Justice Project is an attempt to establish a more egalitarian world order. It's an attempt to move towards a world where one's nationality no longer plays such a decisive role in what they can do and in what they can be. So, for example, the global justice theorist Daryl Mollendorf suggests that we'll only have global justice on that day when a child in Mozambique is as statistically as likely to become an investment banker as a child that's born to a Swiss banker. So the idea is one's nationality, which no one can be said to deserve. You happen to be born into a place, plays a such a large role in how our lives go, and we want to mitigate that. We want people's choices to matter more in terms of their success in life and arbitrary things like what country you happen to be born in. They want that to matter less.
Dr. Steve Ganaprao with us, talking about his dissertation, An Introduction to Global Justice Theory. In the dissertation, a name that is frequently cited is John Rawls, his work, A Theory of Justice. And in what ways does that serve as a catalyst for global justice theory?
Right. So for viewers at home who might not be familiar with Rawls, he's widely regarded in academia as the most influential Western political philosopher of the late 20th century. And his magnum opus is A Theory of Justice, which he publishes in 1971. Now, the reason why Rawls is so important to global justice theory is because global justice thinkers were very much attracted by Rawls's idea, again, his fundamental idea that we should try to create the society where an individual's choices, their character, matters more to their success, and arbitrary things like what home you grew up in, what school you went to, what your natural talents are, that should matter less in determining your life prospects. So they were attracted by this idea. And what they essentially said in reply to Rawls is, look, we really like your theory of justice, but we don't think it should be restricted to the nation state.
So why does all of this matter now? How can the ideas, the debates that you've discussed and studied inside your dissertation about global justice, how can they influence American politics and policies today?
Right. So to answer that, I'll just say that in the post-Cold War era, the vast majority of global justice theorists describe themselves as cosmopolitans. Now, they don't agree on everything. In fact, they intensely quarrel over things like, should we be moving towards a world state?
Mm-hmm.
What are our duties to other nations? So there's all these debates. But one thing they do agree on is that at the core of cosmopolitanism is this idea that every human being on this earth is equally a subject of moral concern. Now, how do we manifest this equal concern for others, regardless of where they're located on Earth? Well, what the cosmopolitans say is this. They, in their view, any time we make a decision that could potentially affect a broad range of people, we need to equally weight the claims of all who are affected. So to give you a practical example of this, immigration is a very hot topic in the United States right now, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So in the view of a cosmopolitan, a national leader, when he's thinking about immigration policy, would have to equally consider the claims of those who want to enter into America and the claims of U.S. citizen. So on the one hand, a U.S. citizen might say, I'm afraid that immigrants are going to undercut my wages, or I'm afraid that unbridled immigration will erode social cohesion. So the American has some claims. But an immigrant from a country like Mexico also has claims. I live in penury. There's very little economic opportunity where I live. If I move to America, it will greatly expand my opportunities in life. And the implication for the cosmopolitans is that the would-be immigrant to America has a much more urgent claim than that of the American citizen. And so what the cosmopolitans are saying is you can't prioritize the claims or the interests of your own people. You need to equally rank them with the claims of others, and the more urgent claim for the cosmopolitan should win out. So how does this connect to practical politics today? I would argue that this cosmopolitan moral orientation has affected United States policy. And I think it's been exhibited by some of our national leaders. So, for example, and I'll end with this, Barack Obama in 2016, shortly before Trump secures victory in the 2016 election, Barack Obama goes to the United Nations and he gives a speech that largely centered on globalization, economic globalization. And he was candid in the speech. He admitted that global trade deals and outsourcing and what we just call globalization has hurt a lot of American workers. He acknowledged that. But he said, ultimately, it's lifted over 1 billion people out of poverty around the world. There's never been a better time to live than in the 21st century. This has helped get a lot of people out of poverty. So in other words, what Barack Obama was saying was, even though economic globalization has hurt a lot of American workers, it's contributed to the rusting of the Midwest and so forth, it's been really good for people in the third world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's more important to me. And in the dissertation, I call this the global citizenship ethos, this idea that one's primary allegiance should be to all of humanity, to all of mankind, and not to your fellow citizens. Now, obviously, especially with Trump's recent victory again.
Dr. Steve Gottabrow is with us. He is a recent grad of Hillsdale College's Van Andel Graduate School of Statesmanship, and his dissertation on An Introduction to Global Justice Theory. Dr. Gottabrow, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thanks, Scott.
That will wrap up this edition of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Our thanks to Dr. Kevin Porteous from Hillsdale's Politics Department, Titus Tekera from the American Cinema Foundation, and Dr. Steve Gottabrow. Remember, you can hear new episodes every week on this station. You also can find extended versions of some of our interviews or listen anytime to the podcast. Find it at podcast.hillsdale.edu or wherever you get your audio. Until next week, I'm Scott Bertram, and this has been the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Hi, I'm Eric, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is President of Hillsdale College, Dr. Larry Arn, on natural rights versus entitlements.
America was founded on the idea that human beings are born with natural rights, such as the rights to life, liberty, and property. A person who holds this view of rights makes no demands on others except that they respect those rights. Today, however, many Americans talk about rights to a college education, state-of-the-art medical care, and even birth control pills. These are rights understood as entitlements, and a person who holds this view of rights, far from making no demands on other people, is making claims on other people's money and resources. This understanding of rights not only sets citizens against each other, but it undermines the whole idea of natural rights.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket constitution and declaration, go to constitutionminute.com.
Hi, I'm Joshua Palladino, a PhD candidate at Hillsdale College. Here's the preamble to the Constitution of the United States. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Nearly 140 years after the Constitution's adoption, President Calvin Coolidge said, "To live under the American Constitution is the greatest political privilege that was ever accorded to the human race." Hillsdale College, pursuing truth, defending liberty since 1844.
Hi, I'm Hadley, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is President of Hillsdale College, Dr. Larry Arn, on the great principle of equality set forth by the Declaration of Independence.
The great Abraham Lincoln described the Constitution as a picture or frame of silver, built to guard or protect an apple of gold. This apple of gold was the Declaration of Independence and its principle of equal rights for all. This principle of equal rights, Lincoln said, clears the path for all, gives hope to all, and by consequence, enterprise and industry to all. There are many today who seek to limit or distort this great principle by employing a distorted definition of equality, an equality of condition or outcome, regardless how people live their lives. This distortion, if generally accepted, will lead to an America less prosperous and less free.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket constitution and declaration, go to constitutionminute.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.